Father, I thank you, Lord, as always. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, Lord, to shine upon our hearts this morning and give us revelation knowledge and inspiration to know and understand what the Spirit is saying to the church. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to do a follow-up on the pronunciation that we made on July the 1st. And I did say that throughout this month, I'm going to be reminding us that we have entered into a time that God called for, a time of rest, of quietness, of peace and assurance. Well, we'll get into what that really means. Theme scripture for today is taken from Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 18. That's our theme scripture for today. Isaiah 32, verses 17 and 18. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. So we see all the things that this scripture promises for those that are walking in righteousness. We see the promise of peace, promise of quietness, promise of rest. So it talks about quiet resting places and even the promise of assurance, he said, forever. Let me call to remembrance a couple of scriptures that we read and proclaimed on July the 1st. One, Leviticus 23:23, and also Numbers 29:1. And here, as a reminder, here's what it says in Leviticus 23:23. This is how the Lord called it forth. For us, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall be a Sabbath, and a memorial blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation. And he said, you shall do no Sabbath work therein, but shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. But that was what the Lord said, you know, but there was a prophetic declaration made to us out of that, that doing no servile work means rest and quietness and peace for God's people. And also, it's an announcement that we needed to make by the blowing of the trumpets. We did that prophetically July 1st, but it wasn't just for that one day. It was a time curve as we entered into the second half of this year. And I want to remind us today and oftentimes throughout this month and perhaps the rest of the year, remind us of how we need to strengthen ourselves during the season that God is extending unto us. Praise the Lord. And also in Numbers 29:1, this is more like a review of that one lesson. You know, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no sorrow walk there. And it's going to be the blowing of trumpets unto you. And so we announced, so prophetically we blew the trumpet or the shofar and called forth the time of rest and quietness and peace and assurance for the people of God. There was a story that I told on that day. and review it for you quickly today, because this is really my first day after that one lesson, because you know, I had other speakers since then. So I want to remind us of this story of the King Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. There's a few things I want to call out today and many scriptures that I want to give you around this lesson. Abijah, his father, who was king before him, died. And Asa, the son, reigned in his stead. Now, in his days, that is, in the days of Asa, the land was quiet 10 years. So notice the quietness. Quietness, no war, nobody coming against them, no anxiety of any kind. I mean, there was just quietness and peace around him for his first 10 years there. And he used that opportunity to accomplish some things, which is going to be the focus of our lesson this morning. A review from last time, but a lesson for today. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Why? For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images, cut down the groves. And also he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Isn't that wonderful? That you have a king that commands the whole people, you know, his entire kingdom, everyone in there to follow the Lord, to seek the Lord, to do the law and the commandment. He also took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images. And the kingdom was quiet before him. So during this quietness, let's look at a few other things that he did. One, of course, you know, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God, took away all the nonsense, you know, that hearts were after, removed them so that they can focus on the Lord. That's number one. Number two, he began, you know, to build fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. Now, very hard to build in a time of trouble. As we saw, the children of Israel were trying to build throughout the time of Nehemiah and Ezra and all those folks. They were trying to build, but they built in troublous times. You know, there were people like Sambalat and Tobiah and others that tried to frustrate the work of their hands and try to make their hands weak, you know, and bring terror against them somehow so that they will not be able to do the work. But when you have peace all around, you know, no trouble from any side, like this man had, he was able to focus on the things he wanted to do. So he built fenced cities in Judah, because the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Now, the Lord grant to everyone here rest in this house today, this month, and going forward, so that you may be able to fortify your position in the Lord and to do some greater things for God, because the Lord your God giving you rest. And so Asa said to Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. In other words, you know, during this time that we yet have peace and quietness, let's take advantage of it, you know, and because we have sought the Lord our God. See, that's a great key point, a great key point there. They sought the Lord. Now, first the Lord gave him rest. Then he sought the Lord some more. And then the Lord gave him even more rest and gave him the grace to do all these things. And he said, well, as long as the Lord is with us, giving us rest, might as well take advantage of these things because he has given us rest on every side because we sought him. So they built and prospered. Now, that's the part that I want to talk about today. There is a period of refreshing or time of refreshing at such a time as this that God has called for. And it'll be during this time that the Lord will cause your coast to be enlarged and that you will prosper. Hallelujah. So let's consider that we have stepped into the second half of this year. And prophetically, we declared, you know, as we were ending the last half, that we, on the last day of our convocation, that we were going through. So we knew that we were going through. And all the things that the Lord promised to the children of Israel, the nations, you know, that will try to prevent them from getting through. We call them forth, one for one, one for each of these months that we might go through, and how the Lord gave them victory. But now we're in a place of rest that the Lord called for. And what must you do? Let me be clear. It is not the time to fold your arms. You know, just say, well, you know, the Lord has given me rest, therefore I'll just fold my arms and do nothing. On the contrary, you know, it is when you actually do. You do more, you build, you prosper, you strengthen yourself, you know, because there are no distractions and none of these things that drain your strength. You can focus and rechannel your strength into the things that you really wanted to do. There's a lot of cut off from every side, all of the troubles. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me also be clear that the devil never lives forever. He will live for a season. Once he sees that you got the understanding, you put him in his place, go away for a while, and you keep checking in to see, you know, perhaps you'll get careless. Perhaps you'll forget who you are. Perhaps you forget the promise of God. Perhaps you forget whose you are. And whatever. I'm always looking for, a crack in there that I can strike through. I mean, it's like a coiled viper waiting. So, you know, that's why the scriptures say we must be vigilant. And we must be sober. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Always, you know, bearing our spiritual senses, because the enemy is going around looking for whom he may devour. So, but, you know, as long as we keep strong and be bold, then the land is before us that we can take it. Hallelujah. And there are some things that the Lord will put into your hands in this season. Now, having said that, as the background for this lesson, let me give you scriptures around these things that the Lord have promised. Now, of course, throughout the scriptures, the Lord wanted his people to have rest and quietness. We saw the story of the children of Israel through many years of torment in the land of Egypt. And how God said, look, I have seen their affliction for years. Now I heard their cry. I'm set. Come down to deliver them. Go now, therefore. I will send you unto them and you bring them out. And so the Lord, he did that. The Lord never wanted his people, although they went through that, which the Lord told Abraham, way back in Genesis 15, the Lord told him, know of a surety that Your seed will be a stranger in the land, and so forth. And they would torment them 400 years. So it's even before he had any children. And so we knew that was coming. But then, you know, as the time of the promise drew near, but the Lord said, you know, for about 400 years, and they were there around 430 years and so forth, you know, and said, look, the time has come. Because they began to now cry unto the Lord. Lord brought them out with a high hand. So, as the time of promise drew near, well, the time of promise is actually here right now. As it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a season, you know, that God has called forth. There is a time for what the Lord is calling for at this time. To everything, he said, there is a season and a time to every purpose that is under heaven. And there's all these different comparisons he puts out here. You know, a time of war and a time of peace. You know, a time of trouble and a time of quietness. A time of confusion and a time of assurance. Those are my own words. You can put your own words there as well. You know, he put out a lot of things that he put out. A time, he said, you know, to be born, time to die, time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, and on so on and so forth. You know, but I put my own there, you know, as well. There is a time of rest and quietness. There has been a time of trouble. You know, a time of disappointments, it looked like, the first half of the year. Yet, the promise of the Lord, you know, was certain and sure. One time Daniel said, look, the dream is certain. And the interpretation is sure. The word of the Lord is certain. And we know it. And so, even though at first, it looked like it went in the opposite direction, but we're right here now. Praise God. So there is a time that the Lord has called for quietness. You know, there is a time that the Lord has called for peace and rest and assurance. And what do these things mean? Well, everybody understands what quietness is. You know, the lack of noise. You know, noise can just be destabilizing sometimes. I mean, sometimes you can't even think, you know, when things are noisy around you. You can't think. Sometimes you need some quietness, you know, even to be in the presence of the Lord. You need quietness. And the devil understands that, you know, so that's why he tries to make sure that, you know, we cannot or we do not have quietness, you know. But here's what the Lord promised. In the book of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15, the Lord promised, you know, quietness, promised confidence. You know, confidence is also like assurance. And instead of all the other stuff that we've been going through, well, God is turning that around for quietness and assurance. I got to hammer this into everybody's minds that this is what the Lord is doing. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. Glory to God. And in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And of course, those people rejected the word of the Lord, but we will not. Glory to God. We will receive the word of promise and will sanctify in our hearts and we believe God. You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, scripture talks about there was a rest that was promised for these people. We just read it many times. The Lord promised them many things, promised them a rest coming out of Egypt, but they didn't sanctify the word of the Lord in their hearts. You know, the Lord said, look, I wanted you to do these things, come out of there, get out of their burden of being under them and so forth. You know, walk upright, and I've delivered you from that. I told them in Leviticus 26 and 13, I brought you out that you should not be bondmen again. Go into your own place, be free, have liberty. But they would not. You know, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Many of them wanted to, and so forth. You know, and in those days, here's what he said. You know, let's read part of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. In other words, take heed seriously. You know, don't, you know, trifle with this lesson or this message. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You know, there is a promise that is being given us now of entering into rest at this season of quietness. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word that was preached did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Now, this is the rest. This is the Holy Spirit that is talking about here. And as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So he's saying, look, why is he talking about if they shall enter, when he already finished his works? Well, because he said God finished his works on the seventh day. But he's still saying, if they shall enter into my rest. You know, God himself entered into his rest. But he's still saying, if these people shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, he said in verse 6, that there remaineth, you know, that some must enter in. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Then it means that, well, some must enter in. Because God always leaves himself a remnant. You know, God will never leave himself without a witness. No matter what people think, you know, Elijah thought he was all alone. God said, no, I got 7,000 knees that I've not bowed, not to bow. God will always have that remnant. Now, there was a time that God wanted them to have rest, but they did not have the rest. Now, if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have been speaking of another rest. There therefore remaineth a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest has ceased from his own works, even as God did from his. I'm going to be talking about, after I give you scriptures about rest, I'm going to tell you the reasons why we need this rest. You know, I already told some, but I'll bring it together. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, what do you call that? Some people call it oxymoron. You know, how can you labor to enter into rest? And you're talking about rest. And you're talking about laboring to get there. Well, that's right. You know, you've got to strive to make sure that nothing destabilizes your rest and your peace and your quietness and your confidence and assurance. The labor that he wants you to do here is in that direction, not the labor of the heavy burden of failure. Say, let there be more burden laden on them. Not that, but strive to enter in. Focus on what God has promised. Don't let anything derail you from it, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, quietness all around. What about peace? Well, peace could be the absence of trouble. Peace could be an absence of war, but it could also be even in spite of all the turbulence around, you might even have peace. It's not always, the peace that God gives is not always because there is no trouble around. That's a good part of the peace that we're talking about today. God's actually going to give us a time of refreshing. But even in the midst of trouble, God can still give you peace. Like Jesus in the midst of the storm. He could sleep while others couldn't. And so God can give you that kind of rest, which is what Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 talks about. You know, when he calls for in verse 6 and says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God passes understanding, even in the midst of it all. Even when it looks like your prayers have not yet been answered or they are lingering, there is a peace that God brings even through all of that. Hallelujah. And then, of course, the scripture, Jesus said it in many places. My peace I leave with you and so forth. God of all peace shall grant you peace by all means necessary. And then quietness and assurance. This is the confidence. Scripture talks about cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. That's Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence or your assurance, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might inherit or receive the promise. Well, assurance and confidence, they walk hand in hand. Same thing. Faith. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. Well, some translations say the assurance. You know, of things not seen. So we see that, you know, assurance and confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And because he hears us, we know that we shall receive that petition that we are desiring of him. Again, our confidence, 1 John 3 and 22. We have this confidence that we receive what we ask of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So you see how the confidence works. You know, when our heart condemns us before God, we don't have confidence. You know, but when we are assured in our hearts of God's goodness, his forgiveness, and so forth, and his kindness towards us. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. The mountains and hills may depart and be removed. Mountains may depart. Hills may be removed. But my kindness shall never be removed from you. And he went on to say, you know, the two things that he promised there in comparison to, remember, he said that in Psalm 125, he said, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, you know, so is the Lord around about his people. And those that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion that cannot be removed. Well, you know, so people generally think that mountains are steadfast and they cannot be removed. And, you know, it is hard sometimes to imagine that a mountain can even be removed. That's why Jesus used that when he was teaching on faith. But the Lord said, look, even if the mountains are removed, even the mountains depart and the hills are removed, yet my kindness shall not depart from thee. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. Neither the covenant of my peace be removed from you, saith the Lord that had mercy on thee. So the Lord made a covenant and give us peace. John chapter 14 and 27. My peace I leave with you, not as the world leaveth, but I give you my peace. Hallelujah. Now let's look at some scriptures that you can use for strength during this time. I'll go all the way from Old to New Testament. Exodus 33 and 14. My presence shall go before thee, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look, in this last half of the year, appropriate this promise for yourself. My presence, we talked about that before, shall go before you. You can't go before the Lord. You let him lead, and then you put your foot, each of your feet into his footsteps. You follow. My presence shall go before thee, and I will give you rest. That's a point blank promise. And these promises are true. Let's see how Joshua recounted it. You know, in Joshua chapter 21, verses 44 and 45, Joshua talked about this thing. And even Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 8, when he was dedicating the temple after it was built, he was referring to these same things. But let's see how Joshua said it first. In Joshua chapter 21, verses 44 to 45, to give us assurance, you know, that the Lord is good. He said, he gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto them. And they possessed it and dwelt in. And the Lord gave them rest round about. See? Rest. According to all. And let's notice all the many times he says all in these verses. The Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he swore unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, that the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not any good thing. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. I mean, I can count about six times, says all here. You know, it wasn't just partial. God fulfilled everything. Now, the Lord had called forth and had given us a word here at the beginning of this month. Now, believe it with all your heart, because the Lord's going to give you rest on every side. God will give you rest on every side. That's what the Lord has called for. And we need to believe this and walk in that rest that the Lord has promised. And the Lord, you know, he's always there to watch over his word. It's always a great thing when the Lord will watch over like that, the word that he gave. All of them came to pass, he said. There was nothing left that he didn't do. He did them all. Praise God. And, you know, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, he also said similar things like this, that the Lord, according to all he promised, you know, in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56, quoting the same thing, he said, blessed be the Lord that are giving rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. They had not failed one of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. So he was quoting the same thing. Now, rest is what that scripture focused on. So let's believe the Lord for it. Here is Psalm 4 and verse 8. Trust in the Lord for peace, for rest, and for safety. There's a promise from the Lord in this verse for peace, for rest, and for safety. I will both lay me down and sleep, you know, in peace. I will sleep, for thou, O Lord, only makest me to dwell safely, in safety. So in this short verse, the three things, three elements we see there. Well, lay down, get some rest, sleep, because the Lord will make you dwell in safety. That's a promise and that's a declaration that the psalmist was making for himself. Let me give you some more scriptures that you can use. Psalm 23 and verse 3. The Lord restoreth my soul. You know, that's a time of refreshing. Get away from all the hustle and bustle. The Lord will just give you quietness. Hallelujah. And here's a powerful one. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know. Hallelujah. Well, you can't know until you're still. Still means enter into the place of rest and quietness. That's be still. Just enter into that place of rest. There is a place of rest that God has promised. You know, that you can enter into in this season, in this month, he called it for, you know, enter into that place of rest and experience the power and the presence of God. That's what he's verse 46. And Psalm 46 and verse 10 is saying, be still, enter into a place of quietness and rest and know, that means now experience the power of the knowledge of God. In your life, you know, but first enter into a place of quietness and rest. God is bringing you there. Praise God. Psalm 127 and verse 2. You know, it is vain for you to rise up early, stay up late, just to eat the bread of affliction. I mean, you work so hard, 2-3 jobs. And still you can't make ends meet. Some people say from hand to mouth or whatever you call it. Bible say that is vain. The Lord giveth his beloved rest and sleep. The Lord wants you to, you know, work hard, quite all right, but not overwork yourself. And if you have been overworking yourself and still amounting to not very much, the Lord will show you now how to do less and still get more. Because a little in God's hands is plenty. Jesus can take, five loaves and two fishes and he can bless it and multiply it to feed thousands. That's who he is. And that's what he does. When he puts that blessing on it this month and going forward, he'll put it back in your hands. And he'll tell you what to do. Sit them down in 50s or whatever, and you give it to them. And the Lord will give you that strategy as he will enable you. Praise the Lord. You know, people who are in the younger seasons of their lives, they still need to do this and that and pay your mortgage and do this and your kids to college and so on and so forth and do all of these things. Yeah, this is for you. Praise God. And even if your kids are coming out of college and so forth, you yourself, you know, you still need a blessing. You need to be increased. You need to improve. The increase from the Lord comes, as we saw in the time of Asa. Increase from the Lord comes in the time of peace. That's when you can really have that increase. And here's what the Lord promised for you and yours. You know, not just your children, but you as well. Hallelujah. He said, the Lord shall increase you. Psalm 115. More and more. You and your children. And you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And the blessing of increase is coming your way because of quiet resting places that the Lord will put you into in this month. Confidence and assurance, peace and quietness all around for you in the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 3. The Lord will give you rest from sorrow and from hard bondage. I mean, all the things, you know, you heard me say it so many times. I can't say it enough times. How God wants to deliver us from all these, you know, heavy burdens. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord God shall give you rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve. You know, now this is the month that the Lord will give you an opportunity to take up a new proverb. He said, against the king of Babylon, the Assyrian that hath tormented you, the oppressor and the pharaohs and so forth. How are the oppressors seized? Hallelujah. The Lord is causing a cessation of the oppression so that we can have a time of quietness. The whole earth, he said in verse 7, is at rest and is quiet. And because there is rest and quietness, you break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees shall rejoice, cedars and so forth. Yeah. He said, because thou art laid down in peace, no feller is come up against us. None of these things anymore. Powerful promises, Isaiah 14, 3 through verse 8. This is what the Lord will now do for us in this season that is calling for. Remember this scripture. The Lord says, nothing, none of these strong fellows who come out against you anymore. You are delivered. There'll be rest for you in the name of Jesus. You know, Isaiah 14 verses 3 to 8. Remember that. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. The Lord promised us rest. He called it forth. Blow the trumpet, he said, in Zion. And I came out here and I announced it prophetically. He said, well, it's a time of peace for the people of God. And Jesus himself, he said, he admonished his disciples, Mark 6 and 31. Say, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. You know, Jesus even recognized that, look, even natural taking of rest is necessary for you to be able to recoup and be able to do the things that God has put in your hand. And these people were going and coming. The Bible said they had no leisure, not even so much as to eat. I mean, how can you be going, doing ministry and not even be able to eat? If you are fasting, that's a different thing. But you don't have time. You're just so busy. You're just doing this and that, you know, or whatever the hustle and bustle. Yours may not be ministry. Yours may be whatever, maybe work related, maybe whatever is going on. The Lord said, look, take time out and rest. Come apart. You know, that's where we have retreats. All those, when people do retreat, that's that scripture, that's where it came from in Mark 6 and 31. You go, you know, have yourselves, take yourselves some time to rest. Come apart into a desert place, Jesus said. Why desert place? Well, get away from it all. You know, sometimes you got to do that. Take a staycation, they call it. You don't have to go too far, but get away from your immediate surroundings. Go out to some place, get some rest, you know, and so forth. And if you can go far too, that's fine. Either way, you know, but, you know, get some rest. Get away from it all sometimes. And it is necessary to do that. Jesus himself recognized it. And God even showed us that. I'm going to get to that in a bit. Praise the Lord. Now, a few more scriptures, then I want to talk about why we need this quietness and rest. In John chapter 14:27, I told you that my peace I leave with you, not as the world leaves. But, you know, I give you to you. This is not something the world can take from you. This is not something that trials and tribulations and so forth around you can take from you. My peace I give to you. Nothing should be able to take it from you. Rejoice in that peace and the quietness and the confidence and rest. My people shall dwell in quiet resting places. They shall have assurance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you know, Jesus knew and understood that there will be trials and testings and so forth. But we look to the word of God, John 16 and 33. He said, look, in the world, as long as you are here, you're going to have all these challenges and so forth, tribulation, problems and come against you and so on. But no, be of good cheer. I've overcome all these things for you. Well, you know, it's not every day that we should have troubles. You know, there is night and day. Psalm 30 and verse 5. Sorrow and trouble and so forth may endure for a night. But just as sure as there is that night, that day is also going to break. Now, the day is breaking now. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. That day is breaking. I can also tell you that there is, you know, breaking news. You know, they say it on some of these news stations, breaking news. Well, breaking news, you know, news flash. There's a season of rest and peace for the people of God. We're in it right now. Can you feel it? You know, I'm feeling a quietness and rest already. Praise God. You know, and that's what the Lord promised us. God will give you peace that passes all understanding. Philippians 4. Verses 6 and 7. Don't be anxious. Don't let anxiety rule your mind. You know, but as you pray, mingle your prayers with thanksgiving. Put it in the hands of God and thank Him. And the peace of God will keep your hearts. And then you turn around in verse 8 and take a hold of your thoughts. You direct your thoughts into things that are pleasant. The things that have praise, into things that have good report. You know, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, things that are honest, things that are lovely, and so forth. Think on those things. You know, get away from the things that stress you out. Put your mind direct, redirect your mind into the things that have peace. You know, things that speak of peace. Hallelujah. See yourself. Praise God. You know, every time that you see, you know, a roadblock ahead of you or a wall that just seems like cave you in. But what, you know, look again. If you look again, look yet again. See through that wall. Glory to God. You know, I looked and I saw through the wall. You know, and I saw on the other side of that wall, people of God, you know, just rejoicing. And just having a great time with peace and joy. You know, I seen beyond the wall. Hallelujah. You know, and you can look too. If you look again, and your vision will pierce beyond that wall. Praise God. And you'll see on the other side, quietness, peace, and rest. Even no matter what you're going through right now, this very moment. You know. Jesus has given us the assurance, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Isaiah 43 and 2 tells us too that, look, you can go through all these things and you will. The fire, the waters and so forth, sometimes they look like they're overwhelming, but they will not be overwhelmed. They're coming out. When you pass through, he said, the waters and the rivers, when you pass through the fire, well, you're coming out the other side. Praise God. You know, so at this moment, here is the promise of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and 16. The very God of peace himself shall grant you peace by all means. By all means. You know, some people talk about moving heaven and earth. God doesn't have to move heaven and earth, you know. But if you want to think of it that way, that's fine. You know, but, you know, he will any means necessary promise you peace. He called for it at this time, and he will give it to you. Now, why do we need quietness and rest? Why? You know what? God modeled this from the beginning. You know, he patterned his walk, the walk, and then the rest. We see in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, we're told that, you know, after God looked at everything that he had done and saw that everything was beautiful and how he had imagined and called out everything that he imagined, finally imagined himself, called out the man also, created a man in his own image. That's how he imagined him to be. And then there was nothing else to do because he had finished, got into the crescendo, you know, reached the height of all his imagination that was in his mind. He saw it, and he called it forth. And every one of them, those things came forth. Let there be such and such. And so it was. Let the dry land appear. And so it was. And so on. And finally, he rested from his walks. And I've often told people it's not because he was tired. It was just, you know, that he had finished his walks. So he rested. And when he rested, he showed us a pattern. Hallelujah. You know, and we, so that's a pattern. Resting physically, I mean, can bring physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual recuperation at times. Jesus talked about it in the Matthew 6:31 verse that we read. You can, you know, get some rest and you'll be able to recoup. We saw it in the story of Asa. When he had rest, that's when he was able to recoup and strengthen himself and build cities and fortified fences and things like that and expanded, you know, because he had rest, able to do that. Now, that's when we hear God more clearly. Rest, you know, rest. That's in Psalm 46 and verse 10, you know, in the place of rest, in the place of quietness, that's when we experience God even more. Be still, he said. Wow, still means calm and rest and quietness. Not turbulence and not upheavals and different things. Just quietness, quiet assurance. Huh? You know, now you can hear God more clearly. You can see God. You can experience God more clearly. Psalm 46 and 10. Be still. And know that I am God. You can't know and experience that knowledge until first you are in a place of calmness. You're in a place of rest. Hallelujah. Now, that's the time we strengthen our position and make our advancements. According to the story that we read of Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, first 8 verses or so, the Lord gave him rest. And so he strengthened during that time. Remember also David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 1 to 3. David looked around after God had given him rest from all his wars. David was a man of war. He fought a lot of wars, you know, and when God had given him rest, well, he thought to do even more for the Lord. Now, these are great examples, you know, not when God had given you rest, then you fold your arms and you say, I'm retiring. There was no such thing. When God gave Asa rest, he strengthened and built and did even more. When God gave David rest, 2 Samuel chapter 7, let's read it. He thought to do even greater for the Lord. Although, well, the Lord had, you know, different plans. Yet, at least David wanted to do it. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest, ran about from all his enemies, that the king said, you know, now that I've gotten rest, you know, is it now that I'm going to fold my arms and retire? No. Now he said, look, I realize that there is something that is still missing. You know, I've got this wonderful palace that I dwell in, but yeah, we're carrying the ark around in tents. I am going to build a house for the Lord. So he wanted to do more for the Lord in the days that God gave him rest. God saw his heart and the Lord liked it. The Lord told him, though, well, I've chosen your son to do it instead. You know, but the Lord enjoyed the fact that he did it. I mean, it was in his heart. And as much as it was in your heart to do this, the Lord said, well, you know, and the Lord blessed him greatly. And he put up a tremendous store, you know, preparation for his son to do it. He was the one, all the stuff that Solomon did used to build out, majority of it came for David. David made preparation during the time that he was at rest. This is the time that he strengthened, he did great things for the Lord. He didn't say, now I'm at rest, so I'm going to now, you know, just relax and enjoy. You know, some people say, well, you know, now I'm retired. All I'm going to do now is just relax, travel all over the world, do all this crazy stuff, you know, which may be good. But, you know, they don't even think of, look, this is the time for me to do more for the Lord. But these people, this was their time to do more for the Lord. David wanted to do more for the Lord after he got rest. You know, not just do all kinds of stuff, you know, that had nothing about the kingdom in it. He was focused about the things of God. Now, when God had given you rest, as he began to call forth from this time around, this month going forward, now, let the Lord inspire your heart to do even more for the Lord. And it's not the time to just gallivant all over the world and do all of these things just because you have rest. That's good stuff too. But think about the Lord. Like David did. So, well, you know, now is the time for me to build the house of God and do more things for the Lord. Because God has given me rest. You know, in the past, I'm fighting wars. I don't have time to think straight. You know, but now you can think straight. Praise the Lord. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. You can think straight. You can think straight. And the first thing in his heart was, I got to do something for the Lord. Now, why do you think the Lord called this man a man after his own heart? Of course, of all the praises that were always in his heart for the Lord. But this kind of behavior too, you know, when, you know, anytime he had, you know, opportunity all around, he's thinking that, wow, now I got to do something for the Lord. Praise God. Now, so, because the Lord told him, well, you won't be doing it. Your son will be doing it. But nevertheless, you know, the Lord was appreciative of the fact that David thought that in his heart. And the Lord gave him substance, great substance. And he made preparation for Solomon to come in there and do this thing. Praise the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the lesson today. Let me tell you what I told you. First thing is to call to remembrance the instruction that the Lord gave. And I came out here and delivered it. On day one of this month, I came out here and prophetically made the announcement. Blow the trumpet in Zion. That this shall be the month of rest and the beginning of months unto you, saith the Lord. And I did that. And so, you know, I wanted to come here today and remind us of that. And I could have on July 2nd, but I had another speaker on July 3rd and July 4th. So now, my first day after that, to remind you of what the Lord was saying. Hallelujah. And keep your eyes on the prize. You know, I am going to be reminding us as we go through. It won't be exactly every day that I will speak exactly like this, but back and forth throughout this month, I'll be reminding you so that you don't forget. But the Bible says we need to remind one another, you know, lest people get discouraged through either problems, deceitfulness, hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, or hardened because, or discouraged because of burdens. Let there be no more burdens. We're reversing that. You know, the Lord showed me the billows. You know, he said, when you see billows rolling like that, and it showed it to me rolling backwards. That's right. I saw it at the eye of faith. So the Lord rolling that backwards. For you know, all the onslaught of the enemy. It's a lot of things that people have gone through. We have family in hospital. we ourselves, some people have been through challenges. You lose your job, you lose this and that, and just so many things. This last half of the year, first half that passed, and the enemy threw at us. But now, let there be a reversal. Hallelujah. Let there be no more burdens. Let there be no more hard labor put upon the people of God. For I, the Lord, have delivered you and caused you to go upright, that you should no longer be under those kinds of servitude. You do no servile work there. God is calling for a time of refreshing. You know, hallelujah. And we need this refreshing. No, one, God has promised it, so let us enter in and receive it. Let's not be like those who hardened their hearts. God promised them, but they settled for Egypt in their minds, you know. And it did not end with many of them. Well, it did not end well with many of them. But let us go on to believe the Lord. The Bible says that if you will hear his voice today, harden not your heart as those people did in the time of provocation. But we will not provoke the Lord. Are we stronger than he? No, we are not. So we're not going to provoke the Lord. But we will believe the Lord and we will sanctify the word in our hearts. And this shall be the beginning of months unto you, the month of rest. Hallelujah. And in that time of rest, God will give you understanding to fortify your position and to enlarge your coasts, and it will bring great things, and testimonies will abound. You know, I am looking for, because I looked through that wall. I saw on the other side of that wall. You know, I am looking forward to testimonies that will be coming on this platform to go up there now. You know, to be clear, there will be an attempt of the devil to come back and do this and that. But each time you crush his head down, that's right. Praise God. You know, you do it and crush his head down every single time. And don't even, you know, take no prisoners. Praise the Lord. You know, in the book of, let me close with this story. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 5, when the Philistines had captured the Ark of God and they brought it into the house of Dagon, you know, which was their god. It sounds like dragon, doesn't it? And then they put it there, and well, and the next day, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. You know? Yeah. And so they took Dagon, they set him in his place again, and they rose up again in the morning, and this time around, he was falling again upon his face before the Ark of the Lord. And both his palms and his hands were shattered and broken. Only the stump of Dagon was left. Well, God will leave that stump for you to stomp down the residue and break in pieces, sir. Take no prisoners. And every time he raised up, they tried to raise him up again, he fell that back right down. That's right. But the Lord called for a presence of the Lord. I will send my presence with you, before you, and I will give you peace. Now, Ark represents his presence. The presence is with you now, stronger than ever before. And every Dagon or dragon or anything that come up against it will fall. So whosoever come up against you shall fall for thy sake. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to pray over the room right now, and I'll turn it over for comments and reactions. Lord, I thank you for your people. Hallelujah. Heard this voice and this word today. This is what the Lord has promised. Now, let that word be mixed with faith in the hearts of your people, that we may experience what the Lord had in mind. Hallelujah. Be still, saith the Lord, and then experience the power of God. The Lord will bring you into, and he's doing it now, bringing you into a place of calm and rest. A new anointing coming for the elect of God will bring them into a place of calm and rest. A new anointing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Prophets that were before me, like Neil Frisbee, he prophesied that. A new anointing coming to bring the elect of God into a place of rest in this time of crisis. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Now I pray that a new anointing come for your people, bringing us into a place of rest. Come and rest in these crisis times and all the upheavals and different things that are going on around the world and around you. Bible says that, you know, in Isaiah 60, gross darkness will cover the world, but upon you there shall be light. Just like there was light in Goshen when there was darkness in Egypt. Well, the calendar shows days of darkness for the world. But here comes another calendar that shows bright days. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And now, quite unlike in the past, when the dark days swallowed up the days of light, this time around, the light shined and the darkness cannot comprehend it. The days of light, glory to God, for the children of God, have now swallowed up the days of darkness. The night had endured, but is now past. We're now in the day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The day is breaking. The day dawn and the day star is now rising in your hearts. Now, therefore, O Lord, let this word that we have spoken in the name of the Lord today over your people to encourage them for peace, for quietness, for rest and assurance. Let this word come upon them and overtake them. And let them experience, hallelujah, this peace and quietness in their homes, in their families, in their lives, in their jobs, in whatever thing you've laid. I mean, you're putting their hearts and they lay their hands upon. And everything, the cankerworm, caterpillar, locust, and the palmerworm are eating, the Lord will restore. Hallelujah. I will restore, saith the Lord. And you will eat in plenty and be satisfied. And you praise the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will give you rest and quietness. And blessed are those that trust in the Lord. And they that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish. Shall rest in my love, saith the Lord. I will joy over them with joy, and they shall rest in my love, saith the Lord. Father, we thank you and give you honor and praise. And as we encourage, continue to encourage one another through this month and through the upcoming months of this year, because you said this will be the beginning of months for us, a month of rest. We called it out. Let the rest come upon your people. And in that time of rest, let them build, let them fortify, let them get stronger. Let them know the Lord even more. And let the Lord show them even greater things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have declared. Amen and amen.